Good. Okay. So, first up, and I prepped them like 30 minutes ago, so they love me for that. You're welcome. Just trust the Lord. It's in you. Gabby, you're up first. Everybody, hey, give Gabby a hand. This is a safe place. We're going to honor. Amen. Thanks for standing. We'll get that on the next time. When I say somebody, you all can just go ahead and stand. So when Gabby's done, you can stand for her when she's done. Got it? 3 points, 30 minutes. No, I'm kidding. Okay, there we go. I'm going to ask you a follow-up question. We're going to let them cheer for you. That's awesome. I've got a follow-up question. Hold up.
Can I just share something about this testimony? About 4 to 5
Thank you all for standing.
When I met with Gabby at the beginning of school year, she was like, something I really want to do is how do I talk to these kids about Jesus and how do I be Jesus in the school? And that was a prayer of a heart at the beginning of the school year. So God is so good.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask this question boldly to everybody. Who has a prophetic word for Gabby? Again, 1 minute. Steve, you can't answer. But you can give her one later. I'm going to ask boldly if anybody's got one. You've been sitting for 7 weeks. This is your chance. It's bursting inside of you. Classroom of Revival. There you go. Thank you. Come on. Okay. Be ready, because I'm going to keep asking for these prophetic words. So you're in school. You've been sitting for 7 weeks. You're welcome. Nate Ross, up next, boss. Come on, stand up. Come on, stand up. There we go. There we go.
I've always loved Hellfire and Brimstone pastors, like, for years, like, straight hardcore Pentecostal, like, Baptist, like, but, like, I got into a lot of theology teaching from some seminary stuff years ago, and I started to develop this deep sense that God really doesn't quite love us, you know, deeply, and so this is, like, maybe, like, 10, 15 years ago, and so...
You're turning 40. But
yeah. So I went up to them, it was just like, I had just had this deep, gnawing sense for years that God really just doesn't love me. And I tell people it all the time, like, I know. So they prayed for me, and they were like, mark this day, you know? And I was like, okay, we will mark it. You know, I cried a little bit. Time here at the altar. I went back to my chair, cried a little bit. But every the next couple days, I'm like, God doesn't love me, you know. But something ended up changing, and weird. I'm just like walking around. Even if I was having a bad day, I was like, I just gotta feel loved. I'm like, why do I feel loved? I don't know. It's kind of weird. So this goes somewhere deeper. And so today, or the past, like. Morning, wake up. I texted another pastor I used to work for. He's in another state. So he hasn't gone to church in a really long time, and I'm sitting there, and I just all of a sudden, you know, like angels or whatever, like just come in, and I'm like wanting to shout, and I'm like, this is weird. If I scream hallelujah, he's gonna look at me. Prophesying for years. I've had this gift, I've cultivated it, I've been faithful for it, with it, you know. And, but today was really different. And so, all of a sudden, I hear the voice of the Lord say, tell him that he needs to come back to me wholeheartedly. And there's situations in his life that are really messing with his heart, and I want to heal him. So usually, though, when I give a prophetic word that has to do with someone like turning, repenting, or something like that, I always feel this deep displeasure, which came from a lack of love. This goes back to you guys praying for me. But as this is going on, I just feel this like huge well of love going, and the Lord said, also tell yourself and tell him there's no condemnation. I want you close to me.
So good.
So I even say that to him, and his eyes are just really red, you know, but work, you know. So he's, you know, and he's an older guy, you know, older generation farmer. So he's like, yeah, okay, I appreciate it. You know, and I'm like, yeah. It's weird. And so that happens, and all of a sudden I'm just sitting there. And then this is kind of, I was literally freaked out. I had this like 3D type voice. It was a little different than the prophetic voice I hear from the Lord. And it was just so loud. And he's like, it's about to get crazier. Mm-hmm. And so
good.
But it had to do with the love, like thing that
so
when
good.
I would prophesy, I would feel a sense of displeasure. And that really changed it.
So good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, does anybody have a word for Nate real quick? I'm going to ask every single time. So those of you who are practicing the gift of prophetic, here's your opportunity. Yes. Wait, you had what?
Awakening.
Kelsey, what'd you have? Songbird. New tattoo.
No, I always get jacked up when I get tattoos.
That's good. Okay. Thank you, Nate. My phone. Awesome. Keep them coming. Hey, let me give you really one quick thing. And I shared this a couple weeks ago before I jump to the next person. I think I shared it in, I forget whose revive group. It may have been Stephen Sharon's revive group about a prophetic word, 9-9. I think it's a date. I think I shared it in their group. So one of the things I want you to steward about this prophetic thing is be bold. If you're hungry for it, we're going to move in a couple weeks, not weeks, but we're going to go after identity session 2, and I think session 3, we're going to start moving in the prophetic. If you're hungry for the prophetic, it takes boldness. Boldness through even getting it wrong. And it's okay to get it wrong. And so I'm saying this right now because I want you to be thinking about this, because I think there are people in this room that are like, hey, I would love to be prophetic. Hey, you are prophetic. Let's just go ahead and lay that foundation. You are prophetic. It's being an encourager. If Jesus is encouraging you, you carry that and you just release it. That's the prophetic. We'll get into more of that. That's for later. But I do want to say that, and I'm going to share a quick testimony about it. It was the summer after first year. I decided, you know what? I was reading Sean Bowles' book, Translating God, and I was like, you know what? I really want to go after the prophetic. I really want to go after the prophetic. And not just like giving encouraging words, but actually going after words of knowledge, like very specific words of knowledge. I was like, hey, he talks about how it's easy. You just have to listen. I'm like, okay, great. Like, I'll start paying attention. I'll do it. So one of the things I started activating it is in Reading, they have Heaven in Business. If you're not familiar with that, you can look it up on Facebook, websites. Anyways, they talk about business principles and how to bring kingdom and business together. But one of the things they do every other Friday is they go out to local businesses and you prophesy over their business and the workers. And I was like, hey, you know what? I'm going to do that. Every Friday morning early, we'd get together with people. We'd go to local businesses and you'd be there with like the owner, employees, and you'd pray and prophesy. And I was like, you know, this is a great opportunity to practice. So, and everybody would, you know, would give, you know, very specific words of knowledge and other prophetic words. And this is where I started to learn the prophetic of really just being, you know, and encouraging, but actually driving in kind of like Nate, like getting to the heart of people and watching it change their life. And again, moving through fear, because literally it was like you'd stand in a circle and everybody would have a word. And you'd kind of wait to get to yourself and you're like, oh God, please give me something, you know, and every time he showed up. But I remember one week I was like, you know what, I'm going to go after, I'm really going to step into this whole words of knowledge thing and see what happens. And I remember I was headed to this place and this number kept running through my head, 99. I'm like, okay, 99. And I'm like, man, I really hope there's more than five people there. I really hope there's more than five people because the odds of it being somebody's birthday, date, cousin's birthday, whatever, greater chance if there's more than five, right? Just playing the odds. So I get there, there's like 50 people. And I'm like, great, perfect. I feel a little bit more comfortable. I'm like, okay, words of knowledge. There's a good chance this lands on somebody. So we're like going around the room and I'm like, does 99 mean anything to anybody? Crickets. And I'm like, okay, well, so the Lord loves you, he's there for you, you know, and I was a little bit like, dang, I missed it, but I was like, I was trusting the Lord, okay, no, nothing falls void, like nothing falls void. I was holding on to that, like, Lord, like, there's something in it. I took a risk, you will honor it. About, I get home, maybe an hour later, something like that, Andy Mason, who's the head of Heaven and Business, calls me, and he says, hey, I have your 99. I'm like, what? He's like, she's sitting in my office. I have your 99. How quick can you be here? I'm like, 15 minutes. And so I get there to his office, and there's this gal sitting in his office, and he's like, hey, give her your word. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, hey, 99, September 9th. Basically it was like transition, you're moving into the next phase. I can't remember everything about it, but it was about her transitioning what she was currently doing. God had put something on her heart and he's answering the promises, whatnot. And she just started weeping. And he goes, Andy basically goes, Andy, what you don't know is she was in here talking to me about starting her own business and when she should leave her current business to go do this. And Andy Mason's really good at this. He's like, hey, what does the Holy Spirit say? Every time you ask him a question, what does the Holy Spirit say? He always points you back to the Holy Spirit. And he had asked her, hey, when do you think you're supposed to do this? Ask the Holy Spirit. And she was like, September 9th. Right? Because I was obedient to give a word, it didn't hit in the moment, but God honored it an hour later. And it changed the trajectory of what somebody was leaning into to hear from the Lord. Okay, so even as I'm asking people to share the testimonies and ask, hey, who has a word? If the Lord gives you, even if it's weird and crazy, Kelsey, thank you for saying Songbird. I'm not saying it's weird and crazy, but it's the first thing that popped in your head, right? That's obedience. Okay, it may be super weird and it may not mean anything to you. And right now, it may not mean much to Nate. Right now, maybe it does. But be faithful to it because it's for the Holy Spirit to interpret that to the person. Right? And he will honor that. Okay? That is not in my notes, but I wanted to hit that. Jessica Glover, you're up. Woo!
Oh, you want a non-sweaty one? That one's sweaty.
Oh, I probably already am sweaty.
That's so good. Yeah. It's the Lord. It's better than I thought. Anyway, don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. They're going to clap, but don't go anywhere. We're moving into this. Okay, who's got a word? Who's got a word? Okay. Amen. That's good. Hey, thank you. Awesome. This is fun. I hope you're picking up on a theme because, again, this is a school. And one of the things, if you've noticed, when I do some of the activations at the end of somebody teaching, I'm looking for a theme. I'm listening and I'm connecting with what's being taught, and then I'm being obedient to what that thing is. Has anybody caught a theme for the first three testimonies? Anybody? Boldness. Pushing through something that might be weird, right? And moving into it because God's going to do more than what's been expected, right? All three have kind of had that same theme. Is anybody picking up on that? Okay, pay attention to that. Michelle Howard, you're up.
Introduce yourself.
Introduce myself?
Yeah, I know I just said your name, but go ahead.
I'm Michelle Howard.
Don't go anywhere. I'll take this, but don't go anywhere. Amen. Okay, who's got a word for Michelle? Yeah, Donna.
Amen. Amen. So good. So good. Thank you, Michelle. Man, this is fun. I have one more, but she said that if we're running out of time, I don't have to go to her, so it can wait for a couple weeks. I'll come back to it. Person knows who I'm talking about. So what, now what? Right? Andy, this is great. We had an amazing time learning about repentance and three baptisms and Christ and Christ alone, get in the chair, laying on of hands, resurrection, eternal judgment, the transplant that will save your life, and walking with God, listener and disciple. So what, now what? And Aaron, I'll go ahead and let you start jamming out because I want to move into worship. But what do you do now? One, I hope when you did your homework, it may have felt like homework, but don't just put it away and forget about it. Come back to it. Come back to those things that the Lord spoke and reflect on those things. If the whole point of that homework wasn't just to get you to do it, it's so that you can sit with the Lord and process with him so that you can always come back to those places, because you're digging wells for more. You're digging wells for boldness. You're digging wells for things that you didn't expect, but now you're getting. Like, you're digging wells, so always come back to those things. But I shared this verse week one, 1 Corinthians 2. I think you got up there, Chris. The big Bible in the sky. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 16. I'm going to read the word. Is that okay? Thank you for the two of you. For the permission. Okay. Go to the next one. Let's go to verse 16. It may not be. We may not get to. Is there a verse 16? Or verse 10 to 16? Go to verse 10. Sorry. There we go. Yep, verse 10. It's right in the middle. Okay. But God now unveils these profound realities to us by the Spirit. Yes, he has revealed to us his inmost heart and deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all things. He's revealed it to us in his innermost heart. After all, who can really see into a person's heart and know his hidden impulses except for that person's spirit? So it is with God. His thoughts and secret are only fully understood by his Spirit, the Spirit of God. For we did not receive the spirit of this world system, but the Spirit of God, so that we might come to understanding and experience all that grace has lavished upon us. So that we might come to understand and experience all that grace has lavished upon us. And we articulate these realities with the words imparted to us by the Spirit, and not with the words taught by human wisdom. This is why we engage with the Word, right? We had a lot of amazing teachers teach, but it was a Spirit flowing through them. We joined together Spirit-revealed truth with Spirit-revealed words. Verse 14, someone living on an entirely human level rejects the revelations of God's Spirit, for they make no sense to him. He can't understand the revelations of the Spirit because they are only discovered by illumination of the Spirit. Those, get this, verse 15, those who live in the Spirit are able to carefully evaluate all things, and they are subject to scrutiny of no one but God. For who has ever intimately known the mind of the Lord Yahweh well enough to become his counselor? Christ has. I love this last part. And we possess Christ's perceptions.
Did you get that? For who has ever intimately known the mind of the Lord Yahweh? Who has ever known the mind of God? Christ and Christ alone. But we possess Christ's perceptions. It's not me saying this. This is from the Word. We have Christ inside of us, the Holy Spirit, that's revealing to us the heart of God through His Word. You want to know what the mind of God is like for you? You have the mind of Christ. Ask, seek, listen. Second Timothy 3:14-16. Yet you must continue to advance in strength with the truth wrapped around your heart, being assured by God that He's the one who has truly taught you all these things. Verse 15, remember what you were taught from your childhood from the Holy Scrolls, which can impart to you wisdom to experience everlasting life through the faith of Jesus, the Anointed One. God has transmitted His very substance into every scripture, for it is God-breathed. Every time we read this, we should encounter Him. Every time we open this up, it's Him breathing back to us. Get that picture. When we open it, it's His Word breathed, and His Word breathes into us. It will empower you by its instruction and correction, giving you strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper into the path of godliness. What I love about that is it says, giving you strength to take the right direction. Sorry. It will empower you by instruction and correction, not guilt and condemnation. Right? It's not guilt and condemnation that leads you to the right direction and into a deeper path of holiness. It's instruction and correction through love. Then you will be God, verse 17, then you'll be God's servant, fully mature and perfectly prepared to fulfill any assignment God gives to you. Man. Amen. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it's not us. It's not wisdom taught by humans, but it's wisdom from the Holy Spirit that's continually interceding with you at the right hand of the Father. Constantly, never ending, always moving forward, always speaking, never at a distance, always there, always ready to speak. God, give us ears to hear, so that we might be ready for every assignment that you give to us, whether it's in a classroom, whether it's at home with our kids, whether it's in an office building, whether it's with spices, whatever the situation may call for, will you let these things that we've been cultivating for the last 8 weeks rest and be inside of us to be speak out when the time is right? That the words and the prayers and the promises that are coming up that we've been believing for and praying for and asking God for will start to reveal themselves greater and bigger than what we could ever think or imagine. That promises, like Jessica said, and dreams are being revived from the inside and are starting to burst forth. May these new wineskins start to expand to be filled to overflowing, to where the top cannot be contained, but to burst open for everyone around them to be saturated by the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the testimonies of everyone that shared and everyone that didn't share, because there's so many things that you've done, Father, in so many lives and so many different situations, and we're only 8 weeks in. So, Father, we just pray, multiply. Pour out in abundance. For those who are weary and are saying, God, I don't know how I can continue, God, give them grace. Let them grab hold of Michelle's testimony. Okay, I can do more. because you gave me grace for more. God, I want to share Jesus with somebody. Lord, create the opportunity for those moments. So, Father, we step into that right now because you are faithful to complete everything that you've started.
So Andy's the speaker. I am comfortable praying and declaring and decreeing from behind. But so when tonight he was like, you're going to close. I was like, oh, well, I know. The Lord already told me I was going to close. So anyways, I just feel like that a lot of people are asking, Lord, is there grace for this next season, whether it's for school or whether it's something personal? I recently, well, not recently, but when COVID hit, I took on the opportunity to homeschool my kids. And there, if you're a homeschool mom, there's some really trying things that go on inside of yourself in the midst of trying to homeschool your children. And I would find myself saying, Lord, there's not grace for this. There's not grace for this. As my little baby was screaming at me and my girls were bouncing around and I couldn't get control. And I felt like the Lord was like, well, you're speaking it into existence. And so I started changing my words and saying, okay, there is grace for this. I've taken this on. There is grace for this. And I have slowly seen over me speaking that over in the morning, the atmosphere changes in my home. And all of a sudden, like today was a beautiful day. It was really easy. I don't know why, but I just feel like he keeps saying, my grace is sufficient for what you set your hand to. And so I guess I just want to release that over to everyone that his grace is sufficient, but we have to take authority in that area. I feel like sometimes we Christianize it, whatever you want to say, and say, cop out and say, well, his grace isn't there. His grace isn't there for it. I really want us to all to take on the opportunity to say, no, there is grace for this. There's grace for this area. So whether that's personal or whether that's for this next phase, for this next session of 8 weeks, I guess I want to release, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your very weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So I guess I just want everybody to hold out their hands. I don't know how you want to end this. Everybody hold out their hands. And God, I thank you for this group. I thank you, Father, for this next season, for this next session. God, I thank you that the book that we are going to dive into and what this next session, the royalty that people are going to be able to walk in and the revelation that you're going to release will be the grace is there for kingdom authority. So God, we thank you for each of these hearts, each of these vessels, God. Then we thank you for even their personal lives, God. If there are things that are going on where it does not seem that your grace is there, God, we speak to it and we say, no, your grace is sufficient, for your power is made perfect in our weakness. So God, I thank you for that. I thank you for your grace that is sufficient, that it does carry us. And as we speak into our situations, God, that they actually come alive in a way that wouldn't have been possible without us leaning into that grace. So we thank you, Jesus, for that grace.